What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's JD here, and off the top of the show, I just want to make a quick announcement that Podlist is coming back. That's right, Podlist 5, to be exact. And what is a Podlist exactly? Well, it's a podcast playlist. It's a Podlist. Podlist 5 will launch July 8th, 2024, and this is your official call for submissions. I am looking for your pavement or pavement-adjacent songs recorded on a WAV file sent to me via jd@meetingmalkmus.com or WeTransfer, preferably, because the files will be big. MP3s are okay, but WAV files rule the day. I need these files from you by June 15th of 2024 in order to make the cut, so... Get your files to me on or before June 15th. Get your band together. Pick up an acoustic guitar and just play your balls off for whatever song you choose. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. And maybe we'll do something a little bit different this year with the pod list once it's done. When you send me the file, please send me your band name or your handle, as well as any pertinent information about the band that I need to know to introduce your song. That's what I've got for you. This is your official call for submissions. Again, WAV files on or before June 15th to make Podlist number 5 a reality.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
Okay, track number 42, Easily Fooled, comes from the Rattled by Da Rush EP. And it's the third track on that EP, and it later appeared on the Sordid Sentinel edition of Wowie Zowie Reissue, along with its EP bandmate False Scorpion, and it was track number 22 on that second disc of the Sordid Sentinel's collection, the reissue. So, Alan,
yeah,
what do you think of Easily Fooled?
Love it, love it, love it, love it. It's on, like I said to you, off air. It's probably one of my favorite tracks alongside Here. Yeah, it's just such an amazing track. Love the meandering nature of it, just really acerbic lyrics, and yeah, like, it's awesome track to jam along to.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band, Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballots. I tabulated the results using an advanced abacus and some spilled toothpicks on the floor, and all that's left for us to reveal is this week's track. How will your favorite song fare in the rating? You'll need to tune in, or whatever the podcast equivalent of tuning in is, every week to find out. So there's that. This week, we're joined by Pavement superfan, Pete. Pete, how are you doing, motherfucker?
Getting over the fact that you said abacus. And toothpicks. You're like, I don't know, you're a cross between like an old Chinese medicine man and fucking Rain Man. Didn't he count toothpicks?
He did.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, it's my pleasure to have you on the show. The legendary Pete Marchica of Marchica.
Easy.
So talk to me a little bit about your Pavement origin story.
So I think it's fair. It's important to point out that early on, because I came to Pavement right as they broke up. Like, I was like discovered this amazing band. And the record that had just come out was Steve Malcolmus's self-titled debut. And so this is the Napster days, and a buddy of mine, Mo, who you know I've spoke of a number of times, who incidentally knows Spiral well, he was burning discs like, you know, nobody's business. He was a master pirate and was burning a bunch of Pavement stuff. I'm like, this band is fucking awesome. And I really couldn't at the time differentiate between the Malcolmus solo stuff and Pavement itself. Wow. And I mean, I think probably the first Pavement song maybe I ever heard was Elevate Me Later or Stereo. One of those two.
Both good songs to start with.
Yeah. And then it got to the point to where I had a couple of these like compilation burns of Napster tunes from Pavement. And they just, I just listened to the shit out of them. I would sometimes leave them in my car, and I noticed my mom started liking like Pavement stuff because there were like some PSOI sprinkled in there too.
Oh, and, really?
Oh yeah. 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 There was one song actually that was a Spiral tune. I want to say it was Date with IKEA, right? Okay. And when you downloaded it from Napster, there was like a opener tag. So like sometimes you get the file and the file would just be whatever that person that was on the file sharing gave you. And sometimes it wouldn't be the song, but you know, this happened to be the song, but it would start with this really cool jingle and this woman with a beautiful voice. And she would just say, "Encoded by Easy MP3. It was, I guess it was a MP3 encoding software that was early on. And so I never, like, I think the first time I ever heard Date with IKEA without Encoded by Easy MP3 in the beginning was like, I don't know, when I bought my first Pavement record, because I ended up buying them all, obviously, in the years to come. And it was probably 2006, 2005. So I was listening to Pavement for like a good 4 to 5 years, thinking that Date with IKEA started with Encoded by Easy MP3. Yeah, it was like, it was some random shit, but.
Oh, the Napster days. That brings me back, man.
It was Wild West, man. And you know what's crazy? And I may have told this on the... It's only relevant because of the town that I grew up in. Like, I grew up in Downey, and it's this high school I went to was a high school of James Hetfield from Metallica. Right. And so, you know, they were, if you remember, at the forefront at the time of just being like, fuck Napster, they're destroying the music industry, and South Park made the episode, this, that, the other. So I remember having, like, and my dad used to be a musician before he, like, quit playing music and started a trucking company, this and that. Dude, we used to have, like, discussions at the table, like, the dinner table. These would be, like, long, drawn-out discussions where I'd have to make my case as to why what I was doing was okay. And
really?
Yeah, my dad was just like, that is just sheer theft. You are stealing from people. And man, I mean, he wasn't wrong.
Right.
He wasn't fucking wrong. And I can't say that I really think that the way the landscape has changed for musicians making music nowadays via streaming platforms is better, because it sucks. Just ask any musician. Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. P. Barchiga here. It fucking, but yeah, dude, I remember that. And Pavement was probably, yeah, they were probably the first band that I had really discovered via like Napster. Like, I had heard the Floyd, I had heard Guns N' Roses, I had heard all the Led Zeppelin shit on CD prior to that. I had friends who had all those albums, and I had a lot of those albums, but like, I didn't have any Pavement. I had no idea who they were. you know? So like, I guess you could say that, like, cause I mean, nowadays, I mean, I've bought all the records. I've seen fucking Pavement 3 or 4 times. I've seen Malcolmus countless times. I've bought their records, bought their merch, paid for their concerts. Like, so there's sort of a case to be made that like Napster helped me fall in love with that band, you know? It just was a really slow burn, you know, for the band. It wasn't like, hey, I bought your record, you get this much money from it. it's like, hey, I'm going to fucking steal all your music. And then 20 years later, that investment will, you know, appreciate, if you will.
When you think about how many different formats there have been for these properties, right? Like that we bought different versions of them on cassette and then on CD and then back to LPs, in the middle MP3s, you know, like, yes, you could steal on Napster, but you know, you could also buy on iTunes. And like my digital library is just a mess now, you know, it's just a mess of stuff that I've imported in Apple Music and then stuff that I bought. And it's like my play counts don't work correctly. And it's really, you know, just a mess.
Yeah, I remember back in the day before Apple really got a hold on, like, you know, encoding, having software that basically prevented pirating, you know, I would borrow friend CDs and rip them to my hard drive, put them on my iPod if I didn't have those CDs, and I was listening to them that way. And then, you know, the iPhone came out. That sort of changed everything. But it's interesting you say that about the different formats, because I remember before moving to Europe the first time, a friend of mine who is a huge Apple guy, like I think he's a former employee like you as well, told me, he said, don't sell your media, keep your media. Do not sell your media. Like told me, and I was like,
good
fuck out of here. Like, yeah, I didn't listen to him. Obviously.
No, I didn't either. And it's like, God, like I would have it all. I would have all my CDs still.
I have some CDs. Ironically, most of my Pavement stuff I never sold. Like that was the only real band and a few other gems. But it's funny you bring up the different formats like vinyl, CD, tape. And then now what we're looking at is the reissues with the B-sides and the blah, blah, blahs and the...
Yes. Yeah.
And like, it's cool if you're like a Pokemon, gotta catch them all kind of guy. And I know, like, I guess what I'm trying, I have to say this the right way because I don't want to sound like a prick, but I think I'm going to sound like a prick either way. So I'll just say it. Like I was reading something about Taylor Swift recently, who's got more money than God. Right. And, you know, she's coming out with like how they kind of like not scam their fans, but like, you know, they'll come out with the same record, but like the green edition, and it's, this one's gold now. Get the gold one. It's the same fucking record, but this one's gold. And it's like, and you know, most of the Taylor Swift fans aren't, you know, I'm not knocking Taylor Swift or her fans, but I'm just saying, like, if Zeppelin came out with fucking, you know, Houses of the Holy, and I got just a regular standard black vinyl, and they came out with like a translucent one, I tell Robert Plant to go fuck himself. Like, you got my money already, dude. Same fucking songs. I don't need to fucking get a different edition, but you know. I guess it's cool if it's the only one you have, but when you're buying the same record over and over, it's kind of like, ugh. But then on the other hand, when it comes to Pavement, dude, like, dude, very few bands make money. You don't really make money on vinyl even nowadays, no matter how much you produce, you know? They're making money on touring.
Yeah. You can, yeah, I mean, and you can see that, right? They're touring their faces off right now, you know?
Yeah, they're
putting in their time.
Yeah. What's the, I don't know who it was. I think I've heard Spiral talk about it before, but vinyls, the point of vinyl records, and I said this too, are not to make money off of them. they're really an indicator of who's going to buy your, who's going to go to your shows, who's going to spend that $50 or $75 or whatever it is to go to your show. Because if somebody's committed to buy a vinyl of your band, chances are they love you enough to go plunk down $50 for, you know, a ticket.
Yeah, that makes sense.
$50 for beers. And that's money that that goes more directly in the band's pocket than, you know, a vinyl record. But what do I know?
I'm you know, even though that's true, I'm still waiting, like, to build my Pavement vinyl collection, because yeah, I'm hopeful that they'll release, like, the Sordid Sentinels edition, the LA's Desert Origin edition, like, the big boxes for vinyl. Like, I'm really hopeful, because right now I've got them on CD. And the book, you know, the booklet that it comes with is fine. But when you see the Terror Twilight booklet, the Farewell Horizontal booklet, it's like, it's big and it's, you know, it's juicy. I don't know. It's really, the design work that goes into it really stands out so much more. And I'm so hopeful they do that. But what it means is I don't have a tremendous amount of Pavement on vinyl. I've got Watery Domestic, and I've got the Major Leagues EP, and I've got Terror Twilight, Farewell Horizons, and I've got a funny version of Slanted, the version of Slanted that is like red and black.
Don't you have marble. Don't you have like Demolition Plot or something, or no?
Yeah, I have those
Slate Tracks.
I have them hanging on my wall in like a display, which
and
is
those aren't, you know, nothing, man.
Yeah, it's
most
pretty
people
cool.
People don't have those. Those are worth some money.
Yeah, the one I paid quite a bit for. So it's weird that it's on my wall now. Now that I have a turntable.
But that's the other thing. You know, like, if I'm going to listen to Pavement shit on vinyl, because I have a fair amount of their stuff on vinyl, I'll do it while I'll listen to them sequentially with like a friend, or like just me, like, I'm going to put on some Pavement today. It's very rare that I will like be like, I'm going to put on fucking Slanted on vinyl.
Right.
You know, I have a shitty copy of Slanted. I think I bought it online through like fucking Urban Outfitters or some shit when they thought that, you know, when Pavement was the cool thing again, right, once again in like the, you know, cause I never had that record, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, cause I got all the shit. If I ever want to listen to it, you can listen to it on, you know, Spotify or Apple or whatever.
Yeah. And now they're lossless, right? Like, so, you know, they sound much better. And I don't know. What do you think?
It's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think we head over to the other side, though? We'll listen to
track 41, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We'll be right back after this.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
bad girls are always bad girls. Let's let them in. Darling, we're up against it, and there is no time for time. Go! Bring on the major leagues. 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 They'll wear you down sometime. Kiss the wine. Magic Christians to the rhyme. Bad girls are always bad girls. Let them in.
So there it is. Major Leagues is number 41 on the countdown. It is the fifth track on Terra Twilight, and it's the eighth track if you're using the Goderich sequencing. It's on the second side of the Terra Twilight reissue, third track, so it's the eighth song.
This is the second song from Terra Twilight on the countdown. You Are a Light was number 45.
And here we are at number 41. With Major Leagues.
Pete, what do you think?
So I love this song. I was talking earlier about, you know, the early days of me discovering Pavement and those burned MP3 CDs. And I always loved this song. I mean, this song was the soundtrack to breakups and and heartaches and lonely times getting out of shitty dive bars with my buddy Mo. And you know, this song, because I think I said too earlier, I alluded to the fact that I couldn't differentiate yet which was Pavement and which was, you know, Malcolm's solo stuff. This has some very much some early Malcolm's and the Jicks vibes.
Totally. I call this the beta test.
Yeah, it's very church. I get some Church on White vibes from.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, the beta test. That's well done. Well said. Yeah, it sounds very similar to that quality. But one thing I noticed listening to it, I don't know, recently was like, the harmonies, the in the back towards the end of the song are just like I don't know that I ever noticed that.
I didn't notice it either until today, listening to it on the big cans. And there's also this weird sound occasionally in the song, like some sort of electronic static that comes up like two or three times in the song. Very subtle, very weird. I have written down that this is like one of the most dense Pavement songs I can think of. Like there's very little space. And I don't mean that as a critique, just an observation. But songs by Pavement are typically very sparse. And this is, you know, there's obviously Goderich is, you know, building this sort of soundscape. And then SM with the lovely vocal tone, like just really lovely, you know. This would be a song I would grab for anybody that says SM can't sing. You know, I'd be like, you're crazy, first of all. But here, listen to this and tell me this man can't sing.
Well, I mean, I still get that people will say that because those are the people who are just like, you know, they just don't really get music. I think they think everything should sound like a perfect pop song and that's just not music. But
right.
Yeah, I heard I haven't heard the hiss, but this song is chock full. It's weighty. It's got some fucking meat to it. And
yeah.
I don't know if he's doing a, you know, a Phil Spector wall of sound sort of shit, trying to have no empty space or what, but I think it may have something to do with that is it like a little drum track or something at the very end that kind of trails off the song? It sounds like a repeating South drum,
right?
Yeah. You know? Or some sort of like some sort of sequencer. But yeah, I was going to mention one other thing about when you're talking about the weight of the song. But yeah, I mean, it's oh, the first line, lip balm on watery clay, is just
right.
I mean, dude, it's if you could have just said that and then just the song was an instrumental called Lip Balm on Watery Clay, I would have been like, fuck, dude. I mean, it's relationships, hey, hey, hey. Fuck, dude. Like, just, it smacks of just 90s breakup, fucking early 2000s. Just, oh, God. This is one of the very few songs that when I hear it, I immediately get transported, like, back to images and situations and smells and states of being. Yeah.
Wow. This is a big one for you.
Oh, a lot of people like say that like, oh, it's not one of my favorites. Like I can't say that shit. And I applaud you for doing the countdown. In my eyes, it's always different. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's fun. I get it's it. Cool. Yeah.
This is water cooler talk, right?
That's exactly. It and it's great to get together and to chat. I find it funny the people that want to go to the mat over shit. You know.
Well, that leads to my next question then. One of the questions I've been asking every episode is, do you think this song is fairly rated at 42? Should it be higher? Should it be lower? Is it just right? Like for you,
I would say it's a little high up. I would say it should be a little closer
top
down.
40, it's a top 40 song, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, it is really. I think over the last, you know, 4 years, 5 years since the whole, you know, Pavement mania.
Yeah.
Landed in America once again, you know, with the Primavera 2019 announcement, all that, your podcast, I think people are more heady. So you're going to get people that like fucking the deep cuts, the Half of Canyons, the fucking Best Friend's Arm, you know, the shit like that, that are really good songs if you're a hardcore Pavement fan, but like top 50 songs with their massive catalog. My mom wants to know about Pavement. I'm not going to put on fucking, you know, Flux Rat or fucking, I'm just thinking of shit off like Wowie Zowie right now.
Right, right.
You know, it's no, Major Leagues is going to be one of the first like. And equally, I was burning a lot of fucking albums back in the day. You know, that's what you did when you liked a girl, made her a record.
Absolutely. You know,
you burned her a CD. And this song absolutely made it. I mean, this is Major Leagues. This is.
I remember the bartender at my local, Marla. I was so in love with her. And I burned a copy of SM's solo record for her. And, you know, slipped it to her one night at the bar. It's like, you just have to listen to this. I'm not going to tell you anything else. You just have to listen to this. You know, I wanted her to hear Church on White so bad, but I didn't want to tell her play Church on White, you know?
Yeah.
I just wanted it to happen organically if I could. But, you know?
Yeah. Those are the days, man. I mean, I think nowadays too, with so much music at your fingertips, it's like it's really hard to like get into a record, because even when you get into a record, it's like you get into it and you let it go and there's something that new. You don't have to work for it anymore, man.
Right.
Even those early Napster days, man, you know, you didn't have, I was on a 56K for a long time, man. I have no fucking T1. I knew people that had a T1. And I was like, if I got a fucking Pave song that I was downloading or some Pavement tunes, I mean, I had to wait for those months. And right. I had to sit and say, and a lot of times, sometimes you get close to a download, it's going for like 30 minutes. And then right at the end, the fucking user drops off or, you know, it was horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, so torrents changed the game.
Yeah, yeah. But nowadays you don't have to work for anything. It's just, you have the world. It's kind of, I don't know.
I'm not going to go dark. I tell that to my kids all the time. And that's why one of the reasons I started collecting vinyl now and got a good turntable is because, like, I want them to see that it's like something that is tangible. Like, somebody created this, somebody made this, and it's not just this thing that lives in your phone. And, you know, I think that's important for them. Yeah.
No, that's a really fair point. And I get that too. And I dig it. And I want to build up my media in that respect, because, and I think you and I have either had this conversation privately or we've mentioned it on other platforms, but there's this really famous interview that was done in, man, I want to say 2010. I don't remember when it was, but it was David Bowie, and it was, you know, before he died in 2016 or whatever it was. And he said, in the future, everything will be subscription-based. And this was like before, like, I think the only streaming service, Apple wasn't out yet, Spotify right. wasn't out yet. The only streaming service was Pandora.
Right.
I remember. And Pandora. It was like, I think they had just maybe launched a premium, like, if you wanted it without commercials.
Gotcha.
You know, none of this unlimited. And you still couldn't, at the time, listen to anything you wanted on Pandora. You couldn't just call up a song. It was like you could go to radio stations and, you know, this and that. But nowadays, everything's a fucking subscription. You want, you want fresh food delivered to your house and pre-done meals for 5 days a week? Subscription. Yeah. Do you want... fucking, you name it, man. I mean, I think Uber Eats and shit like that has subscriptions.
They do.
People, everything. And I
think I don't know if you had a chance. Did you have a chance to listen to the Spiral interview? The latest one?
I did. Now, and ask me why.
And he talks about Pavement potentially doing a subscription-based, like, live record sort of thing.
Right. Yes, I do remember him mentioning that.
Because they've got a whole bunch of live DATs that they got access to, and then they've been taping a bunch of the more recent shows, so they might release live records on there might be a Pavement sub somehow.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think they're getting under the wire enough to where they can fucking I want the best for the boys, man. They deserve all that's coming to them. And if they decide to do a subscription model and whatever, fucking more power to them. I will say that not now, but I think probably in another 5 to 6 years, I think we're going to reach critical mass. It's going to change, because I think just streaming everything, not just music, but movies and Netflix and all, like, you know what I realized? We canceled, this is a more personal shit, but we canceled like our Netflix, Disney Plus, fucking HBO. We had all those fucking streaming platforms. Now we have Amazon, and I think that's it, because, you know, we have like an Amazon Prime account. And I watch probably just as much fucking streaming as I did before. I'm just not pissing away fucking, you know, 80 extra bucks a month.
That's a good way to do it. Just stick with one and then suck it dry, and then, you know.
But that's the other thing too. It never goes dry, because every like 30 days they put new fucking shit on there. And it's like,
true. Good point.
You can get away, unless you're like, you're obsessed with the Marvel universe or you've got to watch right. whatever. I mean, I know there are some staples on like things like, you know, people go to Netflix for Stranger Things. Some people go to Spotify for Joe Rogan. shit like that. I get that. Those are, you know, flagship products of those companies. But I think for the most part, like, am I going to have a HelloFresh subscription so I can get fresh potatoes and fuck out of here with that shit? No offense if they're like coming on as a sponsor soon. I take it back. Edit this out.
Anything else about major leagues? Anything else you want to say about it?
I think it's a really dynamic song. I think it's a song that is just, it's so unique, man. And that the piano that is playing, I'm stupid when it comes to instruments, but it's some sort of effect. It sounds like a really unique old piano.
Yeah, it really does. It's very bassy. Like it's very, you know.
Well, it's got some cool chorus, you know,
going on.
Reverb okay. to it. It's really cool, and I love it. Yeah, I don't know what you want. I mean,
No, that's fine.
It's a soundtrack to my, if I want to put a cap on it, it is a soundtrack to a window into a certain time in my life that I just, the song transports me there immediately. It's amazing. What a trick. Fucking the band are magicians in that respect.
Because it can just. They know the tricks.
What's that?
They're ex-magicians, but they still know the tricks.
Ex-magicians?
Yeah,
trigger. Did that go over my head?
Trigger cut.
On that note,
Pete, do you have anything you want to plug? Anywhere that anybody can go and find your work?
Yeah. If we're Marchica on Apple, Spotify. We have a new record coming out in April or May of this year. It's taken long enough. It's coming out on My Label Records. It's spelled like it's not the same meaning, but it's MAILEIBEL.
Oh,
My Label Records. So it's coming out in April or May.
Cool. So we'll look for that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's been great having you on. Of course, great talking to you about a myriad of things. We'll do this again soon.
Thanks, man. Good to see you.
That's all I got for you this week, so stay cool and wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks, as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com. Duvra podcasts and such.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them.
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.